Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk about the pack with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Green Bay Packers on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Masonless Mason Crosby Show, the Middays with Thunder edition on a Human Wednesday for our friend the kicker, Tommy Wirtz, here as well. Our thanks again to Camille Davis for jumping on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We loved it so much. We're going to jump right back into our guest hotline powered by Gruber Law as we bring in our best friend, Andy Herman, a.k.a. at Andy Herman NFL, a.k.a. Mr. Pack-A-Day. Andy, how are you, my friend?
I was great until I learned that I have to follow Camille Davis. I don't want to have to do that.
Nobody, no,
that's the worst spot to be in radio, following Camille Davis. She's a legend. I don't want to have to do that.
It was a stacked show today. It was a stacked show.
We did that on purpose. I go right to the fan talk and text line, and 414 writes in, love Camille. She needs her own show on the station. And I disagree totally with that completely, because then she wouldn't come on with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to have her own show. I want her to, you know, Andy, we love you, and we wish you still had your own show, but I kind of love that you're on with me once a week. Like, I want more Andy Herman.
Everyone does. That's a very common problem. They're getting like these little like Nicorette patches. It's like a Pack-A-Day patches.
God, that'd be amazing.
If you don't get enough Andy in your life.
I'm first in line for that.
Thankfully, I'm everywhere at all times. You get two episodes really a day, Cheesehead TV, on with you guys, on different radio spots, Bleacher Report. There's probably too much Andy. We've oversaturated at
you
this
suck
point.
At retiring. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it is.
That's awesome. Andy Herman joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. I believe Matt LaFleur spoke a little while ago. I haven't had the chance to check my Twitter machine to see if there was anything of true interest there. I know sometimes he's really interesting, sometimes he's not. We'll get to the helmets. Let's put the helmets to the side. Anything interesting that our coach that our coach had to say today?
It's funny. I was actually just on a different thing I had going on. Mm-hmm. So I was just catching up on it right before we got on here. And yes, I did catch a couple things. So the big ones, Devontae Wyatt is going to practice today. They're going to see how he does through the course of the week.
Nice.
But Devontae Wyatt is going to practice today, which is huge.
Down.
I think he's a huge key to this game for Green Bay. So that'd be awesome if he could be out there. Brandon McManus is not going to kick today, but the plan is for him to kick tomorrow. So we'll see how he does with that and if they make any moves there.
Retire now, McManus. We have Haversick. We're good. Just kidding, everybody. Everybody relax.
There is an organic groundswell of Haversick.
There's got to be.
Love. Yeah. So there are some out there for sure.
Well, how on par is that, Andy, where it's just like all these years of not being able to figure out something on special teams with the Green Bay Packers, and then it's like, oh, actually, we have too many kickers now on the team right now.
You can't carry two.
Yeah, you can't carry two on the 53. That would be a very Packers problem of like, can we just, you know, send one of them back in time for the years that, like, after Mason, where there was no, you know, kicker on the team that we felt comfortable with.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I was talking to Nagler about this today, and it's like, all right, if my life were on the line and they had to go out and make a kick, I love what Haversick's done for me lately. Yeah, I'm taking McManus. I'm going with the veteran in that situation. And it would be the most Packers thing ever if they cut Haversick and then McManus went 0-3 in his next game and Haversick gets claimed by some other team and goes Giants. $1 billion New for York the remainder Giants. Of his career. Yeah, exactly. You know, that would be a very Packers thing to happen. But, you know, you have a veteran kicker that you've signed. You've solidified that position. And to be fair, Haversick has not been super great prior to coming to Green Bay. So right. you stick with a hot kicker right now. You're happy with it. But in the long run, you're probably taking the veteran proven commodity.
All right. So Devontae Wyatt, so Brandon McManus, any other news and notes we need to know from MLF?
No, nothing major. No. It was some of the Rodgers stuff he talked about and, you know, how he came in and worked with Jordan and his situation coming in as a first-time coach and working with Aaron and some things like that. But no major takeaways from this one other than Wyatt and McManus.
Well, I definitely want to get to the Rodgers stuff, but I want to start with Wyatt because he's top of mind. You said that it'd be huge if he could play this Sunday, and I don't think it's just huge if he could play this Sunday. I think he's a huge part of this defense. What makes him so effective, and what is the impact that he has on this defensive front?
Sometimes scouting football is really, really difficult, and sometimes it's the stupidest, simplest thing in the world, and there's only so many humans of Devontae Wyatt's size that can move the way that he moves. He's just a remarkable human being. When you get to plus 300 and have the agility that he has, it's a really fun thing to watch. And what I really love about Devontae is the first couple of years you could see that raw natural talent, but I didn't think he necessarily played with the discipline. He played always with a ton of energy. Mm-hmm. And he would chase things down from behind, and I love the way he played in that regard. But pad level, holding up at the point of attack, holding up against double teams, those are things that he didn't do as well, and now he's doing a much greater job of that. Plus has that raw natural ability to, you know, jump into the backfield and immediately make a play as well. And the thing that's really important about this Packers team is when you have edges that can scream off the edge and cause chaos, hello, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, LVN, etc., what you really, really need is somebody from that interior to get there also with some immediacy, because if they do, now you just have nowhere to step up into.
Right.
This is not a diss on Carl Brooks or Colby Wood. I think Wooden's been fantastic. I think Brooks has played really well. I think those young defensive tackles deserve a lot of credit for really covering for Wyatt's absence, but also losing Kenny Clark right before the start of the season. I think they deserve a ton of credit. But when you have some of these pocket quarterbacks like Rodgers this week, and of course, Dak Prescott, Joe Flacco, and last week, I can't think of his name right now, quarterback for the Cardinals. I don't know. You guys know.
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, you got it.
When you've got there, those quarterbacks, to that 1/2 second to step up into the pocket to get that check down is the difference between a game-changing sack and a 5-yard gain. And those are huge, huge moments. So when Wyatt comes crashing inside, when he comes crashing down and it hurts inside, inside
nicely
the interior,
done.
That's
fine.
That changes things quite a bit, and I think he's such a huge impact player inside for them.
So when you talk about that and putting the pieces of the defense together, I think what we've seen other teams do is that quick pass, you know, not letting the pressure get to them. And we've seen some struggles from the secondary, that the secondary hasn't been able to capitalize on that quick passing game that they've seen. Does Wyatt solve all that? Are there still, you know, certainly this week I think has been like the anti Nate Hobbs week. It's been pick on Nate week. When we talk about Wyatt and collapsing that pocket, but also, I mean, teams are still going to look to that quick pass, get the ball out of their hands. They don't want the heat. They don't want the smoke. And how then can the secondary actually take advantage of that in a way they haven't to this point?
Yeah, the first thing I'll say is I wish Devontae Wyatt would solve all of those issues. Unfortunately, he cannot, but he certainly is, again, a huge help where, again, some of those little quick steps up into the pocket where the edge rushers are getting there, now that's not there. He's just causing the havoc on his own. That certainly takes one more, a couple more plays where you're just getting to the quarterback rather than him having the time to make that pass. But I do think the corners on the outside have to be better. I don't think this is just a Nate Hobbs thing. I didn't think Keyshawn had a great week this week. You know, Valentine certainly struggled against Dallas.
Right.
And that was kind of his last extensive playing time. I just think this entire corner group has to be better than what they've been so far. I was talking about this on my live Q&A just a little bit ago. Again, we don't need to get into the minutiae of the grades, but you'll be able to tell the difference pretty quick. over the first 3 weeks of the season, my grades for the corners, Valentine, Nixon, and Hobbs combined a plus 1.85 grade. Over the last 3 weeks, a combined negative 4.35. Blech, I mean, just a night and day difference. Just a night and day difference from where they were even a few weeks ago. So they have to play better than what they have. And then as far as the quick passing game, we've heard from Jeff Hafley, like, it's kind of the thing that they're a little bit willing to say, like, hey, if you can dink and dunk and get the quick passes all game long, like, we don't think you can put up enough points that way.
Right.
It's a fine philosophy, but you still have to be better against it. When the other team is spamming it and going to it over and over again, and you're not stopping it, you have to have some counter to it. And whether that is playing a little bit more aggressive up at the line of scrimmage. To me this week, I want to see those corners up a little bit more playing aggressive, but I need to see somebody rolled over the top of DK Metcalf. You can't let the same situation where you're a third and 14 and Marvin Harrison is one-on-one with Nate Hobbs in that situation. Mm-hmm. So those are things I think you just need to be a little bit better. And I think the secondary in general has to be a lot better as well.
Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. So with all of those complaints you have on the defensive side, or all of those problems that you point out, Andy, on the offensive side, it feels like that is the much louder minority of the problems that this team has right now on Twitter and everywhere else talking about this Packers team. But, like, what truly is a bigger concern? Which side of the ball is a bigger concern for this Packers team down the stretch? Because the offense, while a lot of people clamoring for Matt LaFleur to give up play calling duties, which I can't understand, like, it feels like they are moving in some sort of direction now here, Andy, after they go for it on fourth down at the end of the game and win the ball game for the team against Arizona, which is something that people were all mad about with Matt LaFleur against Dallas and how he managed the clock at the end of the game and his decisions during that process.
Consistency.
They are moving in the right direction in my eyes, Andy.
I hope so. We'll see. I think it's still TBD. I think the counterpoint.
Oh, that means he hates it. That was six, seven. Not good from Andy right there. Yeah. It sounds
no, the counterbalance is where I think fans would say is just like, can that, again, to Mitch's point there, you know, can you be a little bit more consistent with that aggressiveness, with that aggression overall? We'll see if it does overall carry over.
Too many three and outs also. Too many three and outs.
Here's to your larger point, Tommy, of like where the team is at. To me, there's two major issues, maybe a third if you're kind of counting like they need to get more turnovers. But we talked about the secondary on defense. The run blocking on the offensive line has to be better. I'm just going to call it the offensive line in general. Mm-hmm. When Jordan has been protected, he is a stone cold assassin right now. He is getting the ball down the field to his receivers accurately, on time, big plays, intermediate plays. He is just picking teams apart. And when Josh Jacobs has the smallest sliver of daylight, he is picking up positive yardage and running incredibly well. PFF's highest graded running back, whatever you want to make of that. Like, he is doing phenomenal work. They are not enough. And again, going back to consistency, consistently giving Jordan that time and consistently giving Josh Jacobs those looks. I think the bigger issue is in the run game right now. I think if you start seeing, I get people are frustrated, and there does come a point in time where if you're not running the ball well, then some of the run calls in those scenarios become bad calls because you're not running the football well. But in general, you would like to stay balanced as a play caller, and you need to be able to run the football. If they just start run blocking better, yep, some of these calls that people are so ticked off about are become a non-issue because you're going to be converting them because your run blocking is better up front. So I just think, to me, if this team starts to run block a little bit better and starts to give Josh Jacobs a little bit more room to operate, and they can protect Jordan just a little bit better and give him the time that he needs, some of these three and outs and some of these things that are deemed bad play calls start looking a whole heck of a lot better. The offense starts running with much better efficiency. And then again, on the defensive side, they've got to be able to get some of those quick passing games in the corners just need to be better. Those are the two that as we look through the course of the season, you need to see progress. Or if you get to the playoffs, when you're playing some of these dominant teams, whether it's at home or on the road, right, if you're not running the ball the way that you want to, especially when teams are playing cover two and keeping things that, you know, that you can't throw the ball deep, and if you're, again, unable to stop some of the routine pass stuff in the NFL, those are going to be catastrophic errors that ultimately cost you in the playoffs.
Andy Herman joining us here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. He's on the Gruber Law One Call, That's All guest hotline. And Andy, let's look at Sunday night. Aaron Charles Rodgers. He has He has beaten 31 NFL football teams. There's one he's never faced before, and one he's about to take on this Sunday night, the Green Bay Packers. What soap opera? What drama? What relationship building or defining or breaking opportunities or moments do you expect or are you rooting for as a storyteller?
Are you going to cry is what he's asking, Andy. I mean, are you going to cry?
Like, I have loved when Aaron Jones finds Aaron Rodgers, whether it was last year or this year or whenever it was, and like gives him a big hug and all that sort of stuff. That's been great. What do you, and I know that LaFleur on Monday was like, oh, well, he's the quarterback of the Steelers. And that's it. I feel like there's more to it, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think from Matt's standpoint, it makes sense to try to mitigate the storylines and just focus on football, right? That's just classic Coach 101. I was actually with Matt when I was actually about to tweet this out a week ago of like, I know everyone's talking about like how emotional this is going to be for the Packers facing Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, there's barely any players left that even play with him. And then I started going through and counting the players. I'm like, oh, there's a lot more players that actually played with him than I was expecting. I was expecting it to be like five or six, and it's a lot more than that. So that tweet got deleted very, very fast. I didn't send it, I should say. But I do think there's going to be that intensity, that energy. As a pure football fan, a pure football fan, a non-Packers fan for a moment, pure football fan, I want to see this just be Love and Rodgers going back and forth. Kind of similar to what we saw with Flacco and Rodgers a week ago. I just want to see fireworks, and I want to see those two, see who can one-up the other one. That would be what's great for the NFL.
Yes.
From a pure like Packers fan standpoint, screw that. I just want the Packers to go out and completely dominate the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Rodgers look like an old man, and Jordan look like the smart, obvious decision, and have Love and the Packers go out and dominate this one. I think this is going to be an incredibly tough matchup for Green Bay. A lot of the things that they have struggled with is Pittsburgh's DNA. So they have struggled against quick passing. We talked about that, right? Well, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best with the quick passing. It's a veteran quarterback, knows the defenses, everything, right? He's going to get the ball out of his hands. They've struggled with big physical receivers on the outside. Hello, DK Metcalf. They've struggled with tight ends. Pittsburgh will roll out three tight end sets and consistently, get the ball to their tight ends. We saw Freiermuth go off a week ago against Cincinnati.
Yes, he did.
They struggle with big time. Nick Herbig, former Wisconsin Badger, has been unbelievable as a pass rusher. Not to mention, TJ Watt as well.
Of course.
They struggle with big physical interior defenders. Calais Campbell was an issue last week. Hello, Cam Hayward. So a lot of the things, and then Green Bay, Jordan will put the ball in harm's way every now and again, like once per game usually. And Pittsburgh is really, really great at taking the ball away when you give them any of those opportunities. So a lot of the thing, not to mention they haven't won
like
in Pittsburgh
this,
since Bart Starr.
Andy, I don't like any of this.
They haven't won in Pittsburgh since Bart Starr either. Weird things happen in Pittsburgh
even
when Green Bay goes there.
I was born and I'm old.
That's saying something. Yeah. So, I very much, there's a lot to be a little bit anxious and nervous about in this game with Pittsburgh.
Well, we started that with the Rodgers matchup and how many players still on the Packers. No Aaron. What do you think it means for Aaron? We know what the Favre divorce looked like and how crazy that was. And he went to the Jets for 1 year, then came back to the Vikings. I remember doing a 24-hour live broadcast from Oneida the night before the Packers played Favre at Lambeau, and we did a 24-hour marathon. That was crazy at the time. And now Aaron, the New York experience was not to anyone's liking, although with the way Justin Fields has played this year, maybe they want him back. Not that it's been great in Pittsburgh, but it's been good. Like, it's been good what's going on. Do you think, as much as he's one to be the smartest in the room and to manage his emotions and to not do or say the wrong thing when he can help it, how do you think Aaron Rodgers approaches this game?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say while answering this is I cannot say enough about the Packers to some extent, but absolutely Aaron Rodgers as well in how they handled that divorce. Because for a big-time superstar player, face of the franchise, and a team that wanted to go with the younger, flashier, newer version of a quarterback, I don't think that really could have been handled a whole heck of a lot better. And especially from Aaron's end, where he could have been super bitter, throwing the team under the bus, saying, screw this, screw Goody, screw whatever. I'm sure that there were some feelings there or whatever, but sure. I thought he handled that about as well as possible. Just reading it from the outside, I obviously don't know Aaron. I don't know what he's thinking. My guess would be he had a lot more anger and piss and vinegar in that Jets game and really wanting to stick it to the Jets, then maybe he wants to stick it to the Packers. But make no mistake, he will be ultra motivated for this game. He's going to want to play his absolute best. This is prime time. Like you said, this is probably his only chance to beat a 32nd team, a little bit of a legacy game there as well. He looked really good. I know he had a couple interceptions, but he looked really good a week and a half ago in that Thursday night football game. I think he's going to come out and wanting to put on a show, play his best game. If you had to put him to a lie detector and ask him what's the most important thing, I bet he would still legitimately say, honestly, truthfully, it's just winning the game, getting a win for the Steelers and continuing a path to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be extra motivated in this one for sure.
Andy, are the Green Bay Packers the best team in the NFC?
Ooh.
Record-wise, they are.
Right? I mean, everyone's angry, Andy. Are they the best team in the NFC?
I really like the Rams. I'm going to be honest. I really like the way the Rams are playing. I think they're a fantastic football team. I think Jared Verse is already one of the best defenders in the NFL. I think when Puka gets healthy, him and Devontae, I think the big thing is, can Stafford stay healthy with that back injury? Those things can flare up at any given moment. I think they're fantastic. I think Detroit's playing far better than they were in that first game of the season. Yep. They still scare me. I think this is Rams, Packers, and Lions as your top three. I would hear arguments for any of the three. If you wanted to put Green Bay three, cool. If you want to put them two, awesome. If you want to put them one, understandable. But I think those are the three that are the top of the NFC right now, and you could put them in any order you want, and I'd have no argument with you whatsoever.
Nice.
Is that a cop-out?
Yeah, a little bit, but I expected nothing less from you. It's all right.
Who's the best team in the AFC, Andy?
The Chiefs.
It's not the Colts?
They're playing very fun football. Yeah. I would put Colts as like 1B, but I still think the Chiefs are right now the best. And honestly, this will just be one that I completely eat. I thought the Colts were going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. Mm. And to be putting up what they've been putting up.
I don't think anyone saw this coming, right?
No, they have been phenomenal. And it starts with their offensive line and their defensive lines playing so much better than they have. They're a fun team to watch right now. And I don't think anyone wants to play the Colts team. Just really quick, though. Like this is the beautiful thing of it. Everyone's pissed that the Packers didn't win by more against the Cardinals. The Indianapolis Colts, who are the number one team in the NFL record wise, are playing fantastic football. Again, in that conversation for best team in the AFC, they played the exact same game against the Arizona Cardinals. We're down by four or down by three late in the game, drove down, score a touchdown, go up by four. Arizona's got a chance to counter it. Couldn't come up with it. It was literally the exact same end game to that one for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, so you're saying the Cardinals are really good?
They're the best 2-5 or whatever team that I have seen in some time. Well, I guess maybe the Ravens actually are.
Yeah, let's start that narrative. Cardinals best 2-5 team of all time.
Cardinals Ravens.
To lose five games by a combined 13 points is as brutal as you could possibly imagine, including like a 1-point loss to San Fran and then 2 fourth quarter, not collapses, but like giving it up in the fourth quarter against Indianapolis and Green Bay and having a heartbreaking loss to the Titans that they should have won a million times over. That's as rough of a 5-game stretch as you will ever have in the NFL.
There's no doubt about that, especially after they started 2-0 and thought they were good. He's Andy Herman at Andy Herman NFL Packaday Podcast. Daily content not to be missed. We'll be watching the injury report and all that sort of stuff that comes out later today. Fingers crossed about Devontae Wyatt, of course. Any thoughts about Christian Watson?
I'm curious if he goes this week. My guess is no with the field, and they do have until, I think, Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great
conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To actually activate him off of that 3-week period. So I'm going to say he doesn't, and then he returns the following week at the friendly confines. But if he can and give them 10 to 12 snaps this week, that'd be awesome. But certainly one to monitor this week as well.
Nice.
Bucks 5 seed, by the way. Five seed.
That was my next question. You excited for tonight?
I am excited for tonight. I will be watching. I will be glued to the top. I think this is a sneaky fun team. I don't think they can compete at the highest level. I think they're a sneaky high team. You watched that game last night with Rockets and Thunder, and then you just try to put the Bucks in that scenario, and you're just like, oh, that's a totally different brand of basketball. But I do think they're going to be really
fun. Hey, it's all about
the Thunder in the NBA Cup last year.
It's all about having a winter of fun and entertainment.
Oh, Mark Antanasio, that's what it is. Shut your big trap.
It's all what it's about, providing fun for families all winter long.
Stop it.
Including the Antetokounmpos who get all the roster spots they want.
You're not wrong.
Understandably.
Andy, thanks so much for taking the time. We will talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
you
Andy.
Bet. Have a good one. That's Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast, and all his content is everywhere on the interwebs, everywhere you listen to your podcasts, Pack-A-Day Podcast, daily content, tons of stuff on YouTube. Andy is the absolute best. When we come back, we'll talk a little more NBA. We got to talk. We've just got like a smorgasbord, I feel like, of things to mouth vomit of things we want to talk about. We didn't even talk about the helmets with Andy.
No, he didn't. Because again, it's just breaking news, white helmets, and story's just over.
Right. And it's like, it was so dumb that the NFL actually did something right and corrected it that it's like, all right.
Yeah, good job.
On. Nothing to see here.
NFL does their job.
He's Tommy Wirtz. I'm Mitch Nellis. We are the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.